Let's make our declaration together this morning. We believe, we're going to agree with God, okay? Amos chapter 2, 3, sorry, verse 3 says, walk and agree with what God says. We believe, win, because we believe what the Word of God says about who we are, what we have, and what we can do in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. This morning we want to, I think there's a theme that's going on this morning, and this theme is, you know, to really know the power of Christ and to see Christ in a greater measure. You know, let me open up with this verse first. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And this is Paul writing to the Corinthian church, and he says this, and I, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now there's a statement here that he says this, and I'm going to say that again. And Paul says, I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You know, because whatever things may happen along the way, you know, when we relate to one another sometimes, or even when we go about lives, we relate based on things that happens, the good, the bad, the ugly, the beautiful, the everything. But here Paul says, I want to know nothing, absolutely nothing. I'm going to take all these things away, and the only one that I'm going to focus on is Jesus Christ in Him crucified. Jesus Christ in Him crucified. Why is that idea so important? Because it is the power of God unto salvation. Without the crucifixion, without death, there would be no resurrection. Is that true? Even for us who are born again, who have received Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we must identify with the likeness of His death, and then we will experience, we will also, just as Christ was raised from the dead, even so we will rise by the glory of the Father to the newness of life. Amen? You know, as I was waiting upon the Lord, and this is the vision, this is the picture that I got. I believe it's the Lord was speaking to me and showing me things for my own personal life, but I believe that this would be a challenge for all of us. And as I waited upon the Lord and I begin to see, I saw Jesus was crucified on the cross. I could first of all see it from His perspective. So as if, you know, the camera was from the cross looking down. But then as I kept looking, the cross was like, he was there on the cross. And it was very high, high and high and high. And to the point where, you know, it was like as if He was from the perspective of the cross looking down, He was as high as the clouds. You know, He was just up there. And the immediate thought that came to me is that every eye will behold and see. That every eye may behold and see. That my eyes will be kept upon Jesus Christ and Him crucified, because it is from this place, not only He died, but then He rose. But no resurrection without death. There can be no forgiveness unless the judgment and the wrath of God has been appeased, unless Jesus takes away that wrath and takes away that punishment. So I believe that this morning we are called to set our eyes on Jesus. Now, I came from a Catholic background, as many of you already know this. And I grew up with this idea of God and knowing what Jesus did. And I know he's supposed to be God. And I say supposed to be God because I don't know whether I was really convinced. But I was taught he's God. And I went to church, Catholic, Roman Catholic, by the way. And if anyone asked me about the cross, I would say, yeah, I know. This man, this person, or God himself, Jesus, died on the cross. And in fact, if we talk to a number of many Catholics who, and I don't say all Catholics, because I do believe that there are Catholics who are born again, but, you know, there are many who are in my position, same as me, where we think we know about the cross, where we think we understand what it all means, but I had no idea at all. But by God's grace, as I met people from this church, and they begin to lead me to Christ, and I begin to, the Holy Spirit begin to open my eyes. And one of the first things was that I felt like the worst sinner in the entire whole world. And that just drove me nuts. And I said, I have to know. Anyway, but that's not the point. So as I kept searching, and God began to open up, and for the first time in my life, I would begin to receive a revelation of who Jesus is. So what I thought I knew, which I didn't know, now begin to open my eyes and see, this is the legal implication behind everything. This is the measure of his love beyond my understanding. Is not, because you see, I've spoken, even after I became a born-again believer, I tried to reach some of, you know, people that I knew, know, and who are in the Catholic faith, and many claim to be believers but have no idea of what it's all about. So I remember asking this particular person, I said, you know, so what do you think about Jesus and dying on the cross? It's like, that's a great, it's very good. And I said, what does it mean to you? It's just like a really great example for us to be selfless, to be sacrificial. And I thought, do you have any more thoughts? He's like, that's basically it. And I thought, wow, how much have we missed by just saying that, right? Anyway, but my point is this, what I thought I knew, which I didn't know, now was revealed to me, and I think I know. Well, I with this knowledge, you know, I received Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior, and I know I got born again. But as I was seeing this vision of Christ on the cross, I was saying, God, there must be more that I'm. I don't know. I begin to say, Lord, I want to experience this, what I understand and what I know. I mean, I can't fully comprehend everything that happened. I mean, the fact that he died and took upon himself the whole judgment of the whole world, the wrath of God upon him, as pastors were sharing this morning. I mean, hearing pastors say that began to really make me think, it's like, wow, the measure of what happened, what Jesus did is so much bigger than sometimes we make it. And sometimes I think over time, the reality, or perhaps the weight behind the message of the cross, gets a little bit sort of, you know, cool. And I mean, I don't know, maybe it's, I don't know about you, but I'm asking God, I'm like, I mean, yes, I know with a measure that I can, with what you have given me, I think I understand the measure of the cross, but I'm asking, Lord, would you reveal to me? And I think this could be our prayer together this morning. It's like, would you reveal to me more and more about what it meant for Jesus to die on the cross beyond the Roman crucifixion, as Pastor was saying? What does it mean that God took the wrath of God? What is that wrath? How heavy was that? How big was that? I just want to read a few verses here. As we come into the presence, I mean, as we leave as Christian, we have a desire and a heart and a hunger to change from glory to glory. And sometimes we try to come up with good methodologies to try to change our lives. But more and more I realize is like, what is the power? Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It's the power of God. There's power in His message. There's power in the cross. There's power in His resurrection. So I'm thinking, Lord, I want to be transformed to be who You want me to be. But I know I don't have it in myself. But the power, the message that is in the cross, it has the power to change. So I say, Lord, I want to experience the power that will transform me more and more. Let me see. Let me see You. Let me behold You. Let me know You. Proverbs tells us that without vision, the people perish. What vision do we need? Jesus is our vision. But I must know Him. I want to more and more understand by the Spirit what Jesus did. When we read the book of, let me give you a thought here is, you know, we come here every Sunday and we want to hear a message. Is that right? We want to hear what God is saying to us. Now, I know this is not a Thursday yet. It's not Revelation class. But in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, we have Jesus giving the messages to the seven churches. He's giving a message to seven local churches, which would not be just applicable to them, but it would be applicable to the church in throughout the ages. But I want you to see this thing here, is every time the message was started, Jesus revealed Himself. Let me give you a couple of examples. In Revelation chapter 2, Revelation chapter 2, and I don't have it on the screen here, so I encourage you to open up your Bible if you've got your Bible. Revelation chapter 2 and the verse 1, and just verse 1. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says He who, this is a revelation of Christ, who holds the seven stars in His right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. He's revealing Himself. I am He. This is Me. To the other church now, to the church of Smyrna, He says, and to the angel of the church of Smyrna in verse 8, these things says the first and the last who was dead and came to life. In verse 12, and to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things says He who has the sharp two-edged sword. Verse 18. And to the church of Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and His feet like fine brass. Chapter 3, verse 1. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says He who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says He who is holy, He who is true, He who has the key of David, He who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. Verse 14, and to the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. To every single church, the very first thing that he says to the church is a revelation of who he is. All I'm saying this morning, and I'm saying nothing else this morning, is that I am asking God, every time that I come on, I mean, not just every time, Lord, in my life, in this moment, right now, I desire to have a revelation of who Jesus is. Because without this revelation, without this vision, you know, sometimes we say without vision, the people perish, and we think we need a vision. I need to, you know, have a degree and have a career and have lots of money. This is my vision. We're not talking about this kind of vision. Without vision, the people perish. Without the vision of Christ, without the vision of God, I'm asking, Lord, would you renew my vision this morning? Ephesians chapter 1. Let me just read a few more verses. I'm not sure how many, but just... Ephesians chapter 1. And this is Paul writing here. And he says this, "Therefore I also, after I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." What kind of prayers was he praying? Verse 17, "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places." I want to turn back to Revelation chapter 1. I think the message is very clear. I want to know, I want to see Christ. I want to hear this morning, but what do I want to hear? I want to have a revelation of who Jesus is. Maybe some of us are thinking, well, isn't that what we're here for? Yeah, maybe, by technically, this is what we're here for. But how hungry are we? I'm asking myself, how hungry am I to see? How hungry am I to really know? How hungry am I to see? How much do I want to see? In verse 7 of Revelation chapter 1, "Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierce him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen." Jesus is coming back, and every eye will see him. Every eye. We want to see him. No, the Bible also tells us, and I've got some verses there, but I think we won't read them. But the Bible tells us that the Son of Man had to be lifted up. If you're familiar with the story in the book of Numbers, is that because of the people sin and complain against God and all kinds of things, God sent some serpents and began to bite them. And God told Moses to lift up a pole with a serpent on it. And that if when the people will look at it, they will be delivered, they will be healed. And in the Gospels, it is said that Jesus had to be lifted up like the serpent, to be lifted up high so that people will be delivered. I want to give you this. You know, the Son of Man had to be lifted up, speaking of his death. He was lifted up. Everyone could see him on that day. But it wasn't just on that single day. What he did there was not just 2,000 years ago. Though that was a historical event. Do you agree with me? That was a historical event. It happened. The Romans saw him, the Jews, the religious people, everyone saw him. But it didn't end there. From that point onwards, right through, even today, people, countless of people, millions of people are encountering Jesus, are being born again. They're able to see what happened 2,000 years ago when Jesus was lifted up, when his death took place. It wasn't just for that period of time. Even today, we can see it by the Spirit. For 2,000 years, people are getting saved. People are having the revelation of who Jesus is. He was lifted up for all to see. All to see. Every eye will see. And now, not only was he lifted up, but he ascended into the highest heaven. He's seated at the right hand of God. For this is the main point, that we have a high priest, Jesus, after the order of Melchizedek, who makes intercession for us, by whose blood we can boldly access into his throne room of grace. The question here this morning, or the statement I should say, is I want to know Jesus like never before. You know, we're going to go back into a time of worship now. But with that in mind, I can't do it. I mean, I can't say anything. I don't think that I can't do anything that would make you or make me have this revelation. Now, you might say, I already know it, but I'm saying, can we ask the Lord to, I want to experience it in a deeper way, like I've never done before. I want to see, I want to know, because it is the power of God that will change us. I want to see it. See, we might be sitting here and says, you know, some people, you know, there might be some who might be here today and saying, I want to change, I want to change, I want to change, but I can't, I can't. I don't feel like I have the power. And it's true, we do not have the power. Come back to the cross. Come back to the vision of Christ. Let's come back and ask God to enlighten our eyes to see Jesus. That is His desire. I mean, His first message is revealed in the book of Revelation. This is who I am. This is who I am. This is who I am. Let's see Him. Let's behold Him. So, as we sing, as we worship, even right now, as I'm saying those words, may this cry in each of our hearts be this thing that's burning from within that says, Lord, Lord, I want to see. I think I know. I thought I knew, but there must be more that I can experience, because You are way bigger than my own physical, mental capacity to understand. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. If this message of hope is going to change the whole world, let it change me first. Let me be the first one to change in Your presence. Let me be the first one, when I look up to You, the power of God can work in my life and change me. This is my cry. So you may say this morning, it's like an alignment. Let's be aligned back to the vision of the cross. And there's so much more to say about the cross, but let's trust the Holy Spirit this morning, because we cannot do it by the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit give us a revelation. Let the Holy Spirit open our eyes and open our hearts. Would you stand to your feet this morning together as we sing this song?
Oh my God, with the vision of the cross, fill my heart with love for Jesus the Nazarene. Fill my mouth with Thy praise, let me sing. Let my life be wholly thine.
Oh, we thank you, Lord.
Fill my eyes, oh my God, with the vision of the cross. Oh, with love for Jesus, the Nazarene. Fill my mouth with thy praise. Let me sing through endless days. Oh, let my life be wholly thine.
Come on, sing that as a prayer to the Lord this morning.
Fill my eyes, oh, with the vision of the cross.
Fill my
eyes with love for Jesus, the Nazarene. Fill my mouth with thy praise.
Praise you, Lord.
Fill my eyes, oh my God, with the vision of the cross. Fill my eyes with love for Jesus, the Nazarene. Fill my eyes, oh my God, with the vision
of the cross. Fill my heart
with love for Jesus, the Nazarene.
Sing it one more time. Hallelujah. Fill my eyes.
Fill my eyes, oh my God, with the vision of the cross.
Fill my heart
with love for Jesus, the Nazarene.
Let's just stand in His presence right now. Let's close our eyes, fix our eyes upon Jesus. Let's come into the alignment with the vision of Christ this morning. Let Christ be revealed. Jesus, reveal yourself. Holy Spirit, even now, we thank you that you're here with us. You long to reveal Christ. You are the Spirit of truth. You are the Spirit of truth that testifies of who Jesus is. So, Holy Spirit, you who live in us right now, give us a revelation. Give us a revelation. Open our eyes to see. Open our eyes to see. Let your light come. Oh, Lord.